is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
From hurt and hope during what many refer to as Holy Week towards resurrection brought the faith-based community together around the impending deportation of hundreds of Bangladeshis. The U.S. is scheduled to deport over 160 Bangladeshis, despite their request for asylum. These men have been kept in detention under deplorable conditions, so much so that they have been driven to go on repeated hunger strikes to bring attention to their plight. Now they are fighting for basic human rights against the imminent deportation. But on Good Friday, a special day for many Christians, a broad coalition led by faith-based organizations came to Federal Plaza in a prayout to raise up the principles of their holy day by protesting the deportation of their brother Bangladeshis and advocating for changes to our immigration policies that lift up the common humanity of all and provide people with the opportunity to live with dignity. Let's head to Federal Plaza, where Ken joins the protesters.
Immigrants are labeled and treated as criminals. God of the free, we plead for our brothers and sisters who are detained unjustly because they are seen as criminals. Grant us words of consolation and encouragement so that all that we live in this land, we can be empowered to denounce the injustice that is done without regard of the rights and dignity of the persons.
And I'm with Reverend Marie Petro.
Well, I'm with the Episcopal Diocese of Long Island, just finishing up, and I'm about to serve as an interim at All Saints in Sunnyside, Queens.
And why are we here this Good Friday?
Well, the people that are subjected to the laws of this country and that have to go through the deportation hearings and stuff in this building, in this 26 Federal Plaza, they have an experience that is very much like the Lenten journey and the road to the cross. And we want to bring people here to show the parallels between the path of Jesus and the suffering that he endured with the people of this country who are victimized by unfair laws, racism, immigration policies that exclude. And we think that Good Friday is an appropriate time to raise those issues. It's hard to know how to even react to the Republican rhetoric. It's just so hateful and destructive and really, in my opinion, un-American and unpatriotic as well. That's not what this country was founded on. But they're just using the old tactic of using fear and paranoia to try to mobilize people and to try to get their next gig. And we just hope that the people of this country on Election Day will be more sensible than that.
We honor you, God, and we bless you, because by your suffering, you redeemed the world. The false promises of those who are in government and the manipulation of the immigrants for their political benefits. No other president in our modern era has deported so many immigrants. The Republican Party knows, given that they are the ones that have provided for the funds and have created the quotas of deportation in Congress. Our current president can do much more to protect our families, and he does not want to. Among the presidents who have utilized their executive power to protect immigrant groups, we can count Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, and Clinton. Why does Obama not do that?
Robbie, what can you tell us about this particular group of Bangladeshis who are in detention?
These Bangladeshis have fled their country because of the conditions that they were facing. It's very difficult conditions. And they fled, and when they came here, they were claiming asylum. And instead of helping these people, they were put into detention. The conditions in detention were so harsh that they couldn't live in those conditions. The only way they could protest were with a hunger strike. So you have 170 or more Bangladeshis detainees in Edgewood, Alabama, in Texas, in Arizona, El Paso, who were fighting for better conditions. Even as they were fighting to stay here, they had a hunger strike, and it went on for days and weeks. Instead of the agency changing the conditions, now they are placing those people who were fighting for just protection just for their rights to not only due process but better conditions, placing them on a plane over the next few days to deport them back to Bangladesh. And these were people who fled, these were people who were seeking a better life, and now they are going to be deported. And it's not just that it was is the deportation, but the process of the deportation. These Bangladeshis have in court right now, and instead of giving the case time to finish, they are being put on this plane to be deported. So their due process rights are being violated, even as we speak.
Thank you, Ravi.
To our friends, allies, and those people of goodwill, today, Good Friday, we stand on the side of justice. We stand with our brothers and sisters who suffer under the unjust weight of racist immigration laws. A voice that denounces the way of the cross that is walked by millions and millions in our country. We continue to crucify the God of life as we continue to implement inhumane, unjust laws on people whose only crime is to seek to provide for their families and communities. Our God continues as he holds in one hand a crown of thorns worn by Jose, an immigrant falsely accused of selling drugs and who spent time in detention. We need to make visible that which for many is invisible, Jose shouts. Our children are being orphaned and abandoned by the hand of our government, by the exile, separation, and destruction of our families and communities. Good Friday for the Christian world is a day we honor the ultimate sacrifice that God does for each one of us. It is a death that destroys all deaths, and specifically the ones that kill us in life. It is a day where we acknowledge and embrace our deaths, and thus we, in the same embrace, we find the new life of hope and resurrection. Yes, we continue to demand a life with dignity, without the ghost of fear. We demand a world that we can live with our families and communities. We want the right to remain united with our loved ones. We demand to live with dignity and peace. As the way of the cross walked by the deportee and millions who are exiled out of their own homes continues to be enacted by the most vulnerable in our society, we, good people of faith, pledge our lives to fight and struggle for a world where the human dignity is our daily bread and justice our sustaining drink. Amen.
And I'm with Juan Carlos at the demonstration. Juan Carlos, why are we here today?
We know that the agony that our brothers and sisters are undergoing, given the immigration laws that are being implemented, terrorizing our communities, destroying our families, separating our brothers, our sisters, our parents from their children. At this site, we are decrying the injustice and joining with many Christians around the world.
What church are you with?
I am with Zion Church at St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Midtown Manhattan.
And this particular demonstration is focused on the plight of the 160 Bangladeshi who are in detention right now. Do you want to tell us a bit about those immigrants?
They've been here for a while. They had asked for asylum, and their asylum has been denied, and they are set to be deported back to their own country at the end of this month. Once again, you know, back in December, it was the people from Central America that were, there was a declaration by the Obama administration that they were going to be deported, especially the recent ones who had arrived since 2014. And we see this over and over again. The conditions created in complicity with our government in many of our countries have really fueled the violence that people are fleeing from, and many of them asking for asylum are being sent back to their sure deaths. In the last 5 years, people who have been repatriated, people who have been returned, deported back, 83 of those people, at least in Central America, have been killed. Pointing out that the violence that we have helped create by our military aid, by this, be it Plan Mexico or other plans that really beef up our militarizing power in our own countries, that power is being used to squash any protest, any dissent, criminalize our youth, criminalize our social fighters. And so we see this pattern over and over again, that our foreign policy, instead of really helping people to be economically sustainable, make our world better, we see that it's having a consequence opposite to that. And basically it's creating chaos and instability, and the economic gap in our countries is also growing.
What else can you tell me about these particular refugees from Bangladesh?
They are fleeing violence. They have a final order of deportation. Unless there is the Obama administration issues somehow a stay of deportation and allows them to stay in this country. I mean, the human cost of this unabated policy, you know, we call Obama the deportator in chief for a reason.
Father Arias from St. Peter's Church.
This has been a Good Friday vigil where we highlight what Jesus has suffered and what Jesus had overcome. Because although it's a day when he was crucified, it's an expectation of the victory that is going to come. So this place represents the inhumanity of a policy that affects millions of people. We only talk about 12 million undocumented people. But the 12 million undocumented are part of a family unit, are part of a community that is also affected. So if you add even one spouse, that's 24 million. If you add one child, that's 36 million. If you add the community, you're looking at millions of people who have been affected because of not only the deportation, but the fear that you have to live under, not knowing if tomorrow I will be taken away. And not only will I be taken away, but my children will have to suffer with all my presence, with all my being there, with all my love, with all my guidance, with all my sustenance. It affects them. I've spoken in a school, and the principal and the teachers came up to me and said, you need to come back and talk to the parents again, because the children in classes are crying because they're not sure if they, when they get home, their parents will be at home. They are so afraid that if they go home, they don't know if that immigration will be taking appearance away. This is an inhumane policy to live under, and we need to stop this. And this is a prayerful vigil. We continue to pray for our brothers and sisters, pray that this policy will change. We know it will change because we know that this, we end here today with the crucifixion. But then we also know that we'll have the victories. And the Bangladeshis, and I have to mention them, because the immigration is, these are people who are in detention, and because of the conditions, they had a hunger strike to protest their conditions. 170 Bangladeshis are going to be put on a plane over the next 2 weeks. Immigration has chartered a plane to put 170 Bangladeshis to deport them en masse. And they were fighting the conditions, they were fighting the way they will be treated in the United States. So we need to stop this xenophobia. We need to stop this racism that continues to build walls. We need to break down the walls, right? We need to destroy the wall. This is the Jericho. Let's break down the walls. Let us continue to pray for each and every one. Amen.
We're now joined by Fahd Ahmed, Executive Director of the South Asian Organizing Center, known as DRUM, to tell us more about the Bangladeshis, their pending deportation, and the conditions of their detention.
And we do welcome you. And yes, Jericho, tear down the walls. But help us understand more, Fahd, why these men have been targeted and the circumstances of their detention.
Greetings. Thank you for having me on. These men, you know, that's a big question in terms of what are the one of the many reasons that they've been targeted. I think the first issue is that with this administration, there, as you were mentioning earlier, there has been broad-scale targeting of immigrants as a whole. A lot of the things that we hear about from the Republicans in terms of rhetoric, the current administration has already been carrying out in practice and in policies. And so we've seen, you know, thousands of Central American refugees arriving here, escaping violence, only to have their asylum cases denied and then be sent back where they are very soon thereafter murdered, thus proving the fact that they actually were in need of asylum. Similarly, with the migrants that we're seeing from South Asia, you know, they are escaping political violence, particularly if they're coming from Bangladesh, escaping religious violence if they're coming from India, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. And what we're finding is that they come here and they are rot away in our detention centers where they can't prepare their asylum cases, where they can't gather the evidence, where they can't gather the witnesses, and then are held for prolonged periods of time, raising serious concerns about being held for that long for racial and or religious reasons. And then now we see that they're being deported back to the same places that they're escaping from, facing imminent harm and potential death. And the only reason that makes sense, it doesn't make sense, but the only reason that we can make out is that this administration wants to and has been implementing the same policies that the Republicans have been talking about, keeping immigrants out, sending them back regardless of what the risks are, and you know, making it seem like Fortress America.
Just a small follow-up, if I may. Since these are mostly asylum seekers, which means that they would have to have a credible fear for their personage were they returned, what's the nature of their asylum claim? Who are they from Bangladesh that has put them in a position of fearing for their lives in that country?
Yes. So the Bangladeshis, by and large, the vast majority of them are activists that are affiliated with the opposition party, the Bangladesh National Party. It's like a center-right party. And as conditions in Bangladesh have deteriorated, political condition has worsened, and the government has become more and more repressive, a lot of the low-level activists who face the street violence on a day-to-day basis have been leaving. To the Middle East, to Southeast Asia, a little bit to Europe, and a little bit here to North America. And so when they, you know, many of these young men have been detained before, been arrested before, been tortured before, have had their homes attacked, have been threatened with violence, or actually received, been victimized by violence. And when they come here, they actually, all of them do have, almost all of them do get credible fear findings. And the usual immigration ICE policy is, if a credible fear finding, then generally people are released so that they can go out and prepare their case. That doesn't happen with these people. Then, you know, because you're detained and you can't properly prepare an asylum case, the vast majority of them are losing their cases. And after losing their cases, and let's say after having signed for, travel documents, once they've been held for over 6 months, ICE recommendations are again that they should be released, and yet again, ICE is not releasing them. And so for us, it raises serious concerns about why these people are being held for such long amount of times. Most of the detainees from other regions of the world are being held for 4 months to 10 months, but the Bangladeshis and the Indians are being held for up to 2.5 years.
As I understand it, the State Department does not consider the Bangladeshi National Party to be a terrorist organization. In fact, it's the second largest political party in Bangladesh. How can Homeland Security take this position that it is and treat these refugees in this matter?
And that's a question we are still trying to figure out. You know, the designation of organizations or parties is done by the State Department. The State Department clearly does not list the BNP amongst their listings. And it's some strange aberration that just only shows up in all of U.S. government, only within the DHS. And even there, erratically, some judges will cite it, some judges will not. Sometimes DHS or USCIS will cite it. Sometimes they will not, of listing the BNP as a Tier 3 terrorist organization. I think what we can ascertain is that it's not official policy. but the DHS and the people working within DHS are using excuses when they can and when they need to keep out Muslim immigrants, and that this is a convenient way to do so.
I wonder if you can tell us about some of the conditions at the El Paso Processing Center. South Asians have been the victims of what some people describe as detention purgatory.
Mm-hmm.
Talk more about what these individuals faced who were seeking asylum and who are detainees.
Yeah. So I would say that while conditions were very bad, the folks that we've been working with felt that, you know, the conditions, yes, were very horrible, but were less of an issue than their indefinite detention. They said, you know, just get us out of here. It's about the fact that we're just being held here indefinitely that's driving us insane. But there were issues of conditions as well around some of it around language access, both how it relates to their legal cases, but also to medical treatment, lack of decent food, lack of exercise, lack of ability to engage in physical activity, arbitrary and discriminatory treatment from detention guards. Many of the South Asian detainees reported that they would get much more disproportionately punished for the same infractions compared to other detainees. But beyond this, the most strongest complaint was the fact that people had been held so long. And as a result of this, last year in October in 2015, they launched a set of hunger strikes starting from El Paso, and those hunger strikes eventually grew to 11 detention centers with at least 250 South Asian and African migrants participating in them. This is in addition to the almost 1,000 Latino detainees that had also undertaken hunger strikes around the same time. That many hunger strikes to happen within a two-month period clearly indicates that something wrong, not only with the conditions inside the detention centers, but also the asylum system, the detention system, and the deportation system.
And the deportations, as I understand it, are accelerating now. Can you tell us what's happening with that?
Yeah, they certainly seem to be accelerating. About a month ago, we started hearing reports that the United States Embassy in Bangladesh had reached out to the Bangladeshi Foreign Ministry and given them names of 159 detainees that they wanted deported. Then the Bangladeshi government leaked those names to the Bangladeshi media, and many of those people's homes were visited by Bangladeshi intelligence, where their family members were questioned about why did they leave the country, why did they apply for asylum there, why did they go on a hunger strike. Clearly information that they got from the U.S. government, and which was illegal for the U.S. government to have turned over to them, because you can't give information about an asylum seeker to the government that they are seeking asylum from. All you can do is say, we need travel documents for this person there to be deported, but not say anything more than that. But clearly that was violated both by the U.S. and by Bangladesh in this case.
And finally, given the time that we have left, how can we lend our voice to support those members of the faith-based community that came out in protest and certainly organizations such as yours, DRUM? What is to be done?
So right now what we're facing is imminent deportations. The detainees that are on the inside have said on Monday they plan to deport 500 or more detainees to India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Nepal. So right now what we're doing is calling on the State Department and the Department of Homeland Security to halt these deportations and let these people out of detention. We are also working in the media to highlight their stories. We would like people to read those stories and circulate them more. And we will be doing an action outside of former Secretary of State Clinton's office to really ask her that, you know, while there's been a lot of attention on the rhetoric of the Republican Party, the current administration has actually been carrying out in practice and in policy the same thing. And so where does she stand? How does she, you know, does she agree with the administration's policies and practices as the leading Democratic Party candidate, or does she repudiate them? Because we think that all candidates that are running for election should have a clear position on this.
Okay, and people who want to know more about this also should go to the Drum website. We've been
To our website, or probably much easier on our Facebook page.
Thank you very much. And we've been speaking with Fahd Ahmed, Executive Director of Drum.
Thank you.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.